Today is the last Sunday of the year. That is, if one is counting by the liturgical calendar. That calendar gives us Advent and Christmas and Epiphany and Lent and Palm Sunday and Easter and Pentecost. The year begins anew next Sunday with the first Sunday of Advent. Today is the last Sunday. Not only is it the last Sunday of the year, it is Christ the King Sunday. The content and the purpose of the church's celebration on Christ the King ought to be rather clear by title. A celebration appropriate for the weekend of Thanksgiving. This Lord's Day of Thanksgiving weekend, it usually slips quickly into the first Sunday of Advent, doesn't it? But today, with early Thanksgiving, we are at Christ the King, giving thanks for Christ the King, the Lordship of Christ, the reign of God made known in Christ Jesus. In the rich tradition of African-American preaching, the preacher stands and announces the theme of the day. Our theme for this morning comes from one verse in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Now the word choice, the imagery, the I am of it all, ought to take you back to Moses at Mount Sinai with the burning bush. When the Israelites asked me, what is this name? Who has sent you to us? What shall I say? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And the word choice, the imagery, the Alpha and Omega of it all, it ought to kindle in your sacred imagination memories of a service, perhaps here in this place, a service in witness to the resurrection as the church listens again to the words of the Lamb spoken later in the book of Revelation. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of hell and death. Because I live, you shall live also, is the echo added right there in the liturgy, Jesus' words from the Gospel of John. Because I live, you shall live also. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. I invite you to listen to the Word of God from the book of Revelation, the first chapter. Our theme for the day, I invite you to reflect with me upon our theme for the day, the isness of God. The isness of God. Grace to you and peace from the one who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and on his account all of the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of the Lord. I am betting that you can imagine with me, a Thanksgiving dinner somewhere in the kingdom of God just a few days ago. It was a small gathering, because not all Thanksgiving meals are overflowing with attendees or with multi-generations from the same family gathered around or with worn-out travelers from out of state or with a kid's table that's just this side of being out on the back porch. The table I'm picturing in my mind was much smaller than that. There in the McGregor's home, there were only three McGregors. George was the dad, Cindy the mom, and Justin was all of 5 and a half. And they were of that generation that usually traveled to see out-of-state family. But for a variety of reasons that every one of us could list, they were going to be home this year for Thanksgiving. Cindy, the mom, had thought about inviting another family or two from the neighborhood, but she kind of didn't want to ask. And she kind of assumed everybody else would be with their family. She and her husband, George, decided they would invite Mr. Wosley from church. His wife had died a bit more than a year ago after 47 years of marriage. And Cindy happened to know, they had no children. She guessed he would have had a better offer for Thanksgiving. But somehow she found the nerve, the courage to ask him one Sunday after worship to ask him to Thanksgiving dinner. They shared a pew with him almost every Sunday, about a third of the way back in the congregation on the left, the congregation's left. And week after week after week, the McGregor family would listen to him, Mr. Wosley, sing hymns. He loved to sing hymns. He had mentioned he had served as an elder and that he'd been on the property committee when they redid the sanctuary. He told them many times with a bit of pride. And he always had some tidbit of information to share, some history to share about the church. And he was listed when the congregation, he was listed in the bulletin when the congregation celebrated their 50-year members. Mr. Wosley, he was always patient with Justin, the 5 and a half-year-old. A bit more patient than Justin's parents, actually. And he usually, almost every Sunday, he usually gave Justin a quarter after church. He never said why, but he'd reach in his pocket and give him a quarter. And Justin was saving them now in his treasure box in his room. Justin was probably the most excited when Mr. Wosley said yes. So just a few days ago, the four of them sat down to Thanksgiving dinner, five if you count the presence of God. And the time came for the prayer before the meal. Justin's dad, George, had decided that instead of a formal prayer, that he would simply invite each person at the table to share something for which they were thankful. Not wanting to leave God out of it completely, George went first and made sure his words of thanks were appropriately religious. He told his three listeners that he was grateful to God for bountiful blessings in the last year and the privilege of sharing those blessings with family and friends for years to come. Cindy, in an attempt to acknowledge Mr. Wosley's loss, she said she was thankful for special Thanksgiving memories that she was sure they all had of meals and family gatherings past, and especially her memories of Mrs. Wosley when they used to serve coffee hour together at church in the fellowship hall. And she concluded by telling Mr. Wosley that she hoped this Thanksgiving might be the first of a new tradition that would include him at their table and in their family for years to come. And then it was time for Justin. His dad had actually given him a heads up earlier in the day so as not to spring on him this prayer time plan. So Justin had time to prepare. And so he let go of his mother's hand on one side and Mr. Wosley's hand on the other. He let go just to wipe the sweatiness of his hands onto his pants. And then he looked around at the table and all of the food, and he said, "I'm thankful for mashed potatoes. Aren't you, Mr. Wosley?" And needless to say, Justin's parents were a bit underwhelmed by his response. His dad suggested maybe it could have a little more to do with God. And his mom held his hand tighter and said something about being thankful for Mr. Wosley being here with that tone of voice that ends in a question but was much more of a command. No, 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 said Mr. Wosley, interrupting both parents who were trying to perfect the prayer by some form of Robert's rules. And in just those few seconds, as time stood still, Mr. Wosley thought about what his afternoon would have looked like all by himself, and how much he missed eating any meal with someone other than the television news person, and how the food where he lived was just fine, but it would never taste as good as food used to for a whole variety of reasons that every one of us could list. And how he wished this moment with Justin and Cindy and George, this moment with he and them and God, would last for hours. And how thankful he was for this Sabbath day friendship that had come from the pew. And with the wisdom of age, he understood Justin's word of thanks better than Justin's parents. And perhaps he understood exactly how Justin had intended it. Being thankful to God for the very moment. Yes, for the past, and yes, for the future, but for the very moment. For the very moment, the way a child understands the moment, something that is, something right now, like hot mashed potatoes with melting butter just waiting to be served. And right then and there, in the timelessness of it all, Mr. Wosley silently admitted to God that it had been a while since he offered such a prayer of thanks for what is. No, 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 he said as he interrupted the parents. It's my turn. And Mr. Wosley looked around the table and he took Justin's hand back. And with a grin and a sparkle and a squeeze, he said, yes, Justin. I am very thankful for mashed potatoes. And actually, I'm quite thankful for hot, fresh biscuits as well, with just a touch of gravy. Together, Justin and Mr. Wosley said amen in unison as if conducted. And they picked up their forks and started to eat. And Justin's parents just looked on with more than a bit of confusion in their eyes. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. It is the isness of God that comes first here in the Apocalypse to John. A chronological method, a chronological reading would simply affirm the God who was and who is to come. But this theological affirmation begins with the Lord God who is. The God of the present, the God of the moment, the God of the here and now. Before the church affirms the God of the past, we ought to sing praise to the God who is. Before we stand and proclaim the God of the future, we ought to be standing and pointing to the God who is. Before we find ourselves drawn to the stories of Jesus as recorded in Scripture, and before we fall on our knees before Jesus who sits upon the throne of God, the one who shall reign forever and ever, the one who is surely coming, before that, you and I, we ought to give witness to Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who is. On this Christ the King Thanksgiving Sunday, giving thanks to God and to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit, God the three in one, giving thanks for the here and now, not unlike the way a child lives and celebrates the moment. giving thanks for Christ the King and his place at our table, indeed the Lord's table, but beyond that, the table of our lives. Last week, we gave Bibles to the second graders here at 9:15. And I told them the book was important because it was where we learned about the love of God. It's where we learned the stories of Jesus. I didn't tell them this, but that's where we learn about the wasness of God. If I had to try to tell these second graders about the isness of God, I wouldn't point to a feeling or a particular spiritual high on a mountaintop. I wouldn't even point to a faith hero of today. I would start by having them stand up here in the chancel and look at you right now in all of the glory that God gives you. Now, the body of Christ here and now, in the moment, a community that with the passion of its worship believes that Christ is present, that in this weekly gathering, Christ is at the center. A community that with all of its brokenness believes that Christ's love is what binds us together, that his love is our only comfort in life and in death. A community that knows itself to be sent out in service to the world, not to fill out our resumes, not to facilitate team building at the office, not to achieve honorable mention in a faith-based initiative, but because we know ourselves to be the hands and feet of Christ in the moment, in the world, in the here and in the now. As I try to wrap my mind around John and his apocalypse and why the isness of God comes first, why even the hymn writer in our first hymn wrote about the God who was and is and shall be evermore, and yet here in the apocalypse to John, it is the isness that comes first. As I try to wrap my head around it, I found some help in all places in the theology of Karl Barth. And he argues that the message of Jesus is proclaimed, heard, and believed in order that it should no longer be the past, but the present. And for that theologian, a community interested only in the historical Jesus would be a community without a guiding spirit. And a community that endures a certain emptiness now, a passive, futile waiting, a kind of church-based gestation period waiting and only counting the days for Jesus to come again. Well, according to Barth, that's just unspiritual. Meaning that would be a community lacking in the evidence of the work and the presence of God and the gifts of the Spirit and a spirit of thankfulness for the moment. In his own language, it must never be forgotten that he who comes again in glory, this future Jesus, is identical with the one proclaimed by the history of yesterday and the one really present to his own today. That presence, that isness of Christ, is made known as the community gathers around Jesus himself in worship, a community that lives by and with Christ the King through faith. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Ted Gill was a part of this congregation for a long time. His distinguished career as a theologian and church leader is beyond description here this morning. And many of you know that in his later years, Ted's wonderful voice was taken from him by illness. Ted's voice was known for both its beauty and its content. Mark Orton, who was the Presbyterian campus chaplain to the university, tells the story of sharing a table with Ted and some friends one Easter Sunday after worship. It was after Ted's wife Katie had died. And he was continuing to have his own struggles for health. And those who loved Ted and spent time with him knew of the frustrations in trying to communicate with him, both his frustration and theirs. And at this Easter Day meal, Mark tells of Ted working hard to communicate a message to those at table. As he reached for a glass and with glass in hand, struggled to lift it not very high, but just a little bit, and with no words that would come. Mark said it didn't take long for others at the table to realize what was happening. Ted was wanting to raise a glass in celebration of the resurrection. He was wanting to offer a toast to resurrection life. A wordless prayer in celebration of the Christ, the King, the risen one. It was much more than a toast to that first resurrection day. On the contrary, it was there amid the harsh realities of life and of death. It was an act of thanksgiving. A daring word of thanks for the moment, for bread broken, for love shared, for Christ's presence, for resurrection life in all of its abundance, a glass lifted in celebration of the resurrection. Celebrating the very isness of God. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is,